It is a beautiful morning to worship together with you, to be reminded that Jesus is the only one who can turn graves into gardens, to know that Jesus is our bread of life. He is our nourishment. We talked last week about how Jesus is our foundation, the one on whom we stand. This week continues in that, again reminding and helping us to remember that He is the substance on which we live, move, and have our being. And this week moves farther from our this year's celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. And yet we also move closer in our worship calendar to next year's celebration of Easter, and so on and so forth. We draw closer and farther to celebrating the Advent, the coming of Jesus, His life, His resurrection, Pentecost. And we do it again and again because we need reminding until He returns. And I think we need that reminding so that we maintain our hope in Him. And we remember, just as we heard from the choir, that there is life above death, good above evil, and hope above darkness. It is good to share in the memory and the knowledge and the truth that God has delivered us through Jesus, just as He prophesied and shared and was written centuries before Jesus was born. We know Jesus to be God's fulfilled promise. Again, our provision, the bread of life, our nourishment to our God image-bearing souls. I don't remember that often enough about myself or others, that God has made us in His image. And so He will provide us the nourishment that we need to shine and reflect His image much greater. So we're going to join the psalmist this morning in giving thanks for our salvation. Thanks to God for our salvation. We'll be in Psalm 116. I'll read a couple different portions, verses 1 through 4, and then 12 to 19. I love the Lord because He has heard my appeal for mercy. Because He has turned His ear to me, I will call out to Him as long as I live. The ropes of death were wrapped around me, and the torments of Sheol overcame me. I encountered trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord, "Lord, save me!" And we know today that He responded with Jesus. Verse 12, how can I repay the Lord for all the good He has done for me? I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. The death of His faithful ones is valuable in the Lord's sight. Lord, I am indeed your servant. I am your servant, the son of your female servant. You have loosened my bonds. I will offer you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, with you, Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Join me as we begin and continue to give thanks to God for His salvation. Lord, we do come to you with humble and thankful hearts that you continue to make yourself known to us, no matter our circumstances in this life, that you are more than the torment and struggle that we experience with our brokenness. That you are greater and more peaceful and bring wholeness to our lives. Holy Spirit, I ask that what you've given me to share today is received to each person as you see fit. May your love and comfort, your presence be tangible to each of us. And whatever is not from you, may it be forgotten. In Jesus' name, amen. We can follow in these footsteps of the psalmist, taking the cup of salvation and calling on the name of the Lord. Isn't that a different way of phrasing the commission that Jesus gave to his disciples in Matthew 28? Go and make disciples into all the world, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Is that not taking the cup of salvation and calling out to the Lord, I will go, I will join you? We go not because we have the power, but because we have been empowered and we have been sent by God through Jesus with the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim his victory and to join Jesus in his ministry of reconciliation to all humanity, to his beloved. Today we're going to join another journey of two travelers along a road. You may have heard it, the road to Emmaus. And they walked this road with Jesus, though they hadn't known it at the time. They were also walking the road because of Jesus and what they had experienced with him before his death. They had believed Jesus was the Messiah, but yet they were blinded by what happened when the power and authority of earth seemed to overcome him. This world that was ruled by the Romans seemed to crush their dreams and literally kill their Savior. And so what could they do? This was their conversation as they walked this road, their confusion, their wonder, and their woes. And I want to read the passage in Luke 24 and then share some insights that God has given, some ways of thinking and remembering that just as they journeyed with Jesus, not always seeing him, we do the same at times. And yet we can take heart that he is always there. The road to Warm Springs. On the same day, two of the followers, and when it says the same day, this is the same day that the women had already gone to the tomb and seen that it was empty and there was no body. So these travelers not only were grieving the loss and the death of Jesus, but wondering at what happened to his body. Two followers of Creator Sets Free were walking to Village of Warm Springs, which is Emmaus, 7 miles out from Village of Peace, Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about all that had happened. Creator Sets Free, Jesus, came alongside them as they walked, but their eyes were kept from seeing who he was. He said to them, "What are you talking about?" They stopped walking, and a look of sadness fell over their faces. One of the men, honored by his father, Cleopas, answered him, "How can you not know about the things that have happened in Village of Peace? You must be coming from far away." "What things are you talking about?" he asked. "About Creator Sets Free from Seed Planter Village," which is Nazareth. "He was a prophet from the Great Spirit with powerful medicine who did many good things among all the people. The head holy men and other leaders handed him over to the people of iron, the Romans, to be put to death on the cross. We had hoped that he would free the tribes of wrestles with Creator, Israel, from the people of iron. It is now the third day since they killed him on the cross, but today some women told us an amazing story. Early this morning, they went to his burial cave and found that his body was not there. They told us about visions of spirit messengers who told them he was alive. Some of our men went to see with their own eyes and found the empty cave, but they did not see Creator sets free. Why are your hearts so slow to believe the words of the prophets? He said. It should be clear to you that the chosen one would suffer first before he would be lifted up and honored above all. So Creator sets free told them his story, beginning with drawn from the water, Moses, and all the prophets. He showed them how all the ancient sacred teachings were written about the chosen one and pointed the way to him. They still did not know it was Creator sets free talking to them. As they entered the village, he walked on as if to go farther. They said to him, "Please stay with us. It is late and the sun will soon set." So he went into the lodging house with them. When they sat down to eat a meal together, Creator sets free took some fry bread into his hands. He gave thanks and broke it, giving each of them a piece. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they knew who he was, but he vanished right in front of them. The men looked at each other in wide-eyed wonder and said, "It felt like our hearts were on fire when he was talking with us on the road, showing us the meaning of the sacred teachings." They got up without finishing their meal and walked back to Village of Peace as fast as they could, for the sun was setting. They found where the 11 had gathered together with the others. They were saying, "Our wisdom keeper is alive. He has shown himself to one who hears, Simon." So the two men told them what happened on the road and how their eyes were opened when Creator sets free broke the fry bread into pieces. I can just imagine their quick step, saying they walked back to Jerusalem as fast as they could, but perhaps there was some running and jogging and an excitement, a force beyond themselves pushing them to share what clarity Jesus had just revealed to them. What a blessing it would have been in that moment to recognize Jesus was walking with you. While we may not have had tangible experiences like these travelers, I bet if I asked you, each one of you would have a moment of clarity like this where God did all of this. He is right here in the midst of my life. And yet we still need reminding. You've heard a phrase, and I promise this fits, but you've heard the phrase before, to not go grocery shopping hungry, right? Because what happens? You pick up maybe the right things, but mostly all the wrong things because you're hungry. And when you're hungry for everything. And the grocery store seems to have it all. That's part of why I do pickup now, so I can order only what I need and not be tempted by going into the grocery store. So even if I am hungry, I still only get what I need. But yet there have still been times where I just run in quick and I pick up a lot more than I had on my list. I have lots of bags full of things I don't need. I heard this phrase recently, along with some different reflections, that was warning people to be careful about the relationships that they have, that this can apply to that as well. And as I listened and as I looked and thought, it fits with our relationship with Christ as well. This is what I heard in a short video. It says, "Never go grocery shopping when you're hungry. You'll grab the wrong things." And the same as in life. Never go into a relationship when you feel lonely. You might grab the wrong thing. Because when you're desperate, you grab anything you want, but not what you need. And it got me thinking. That is good advice when we are seeking to follow Jesus or seeking to share Jesus. If we go to proclaim him, but we are dry and thirsty and underfed because we haven't spent time with him, we are going to grab or say the wrong things. Here we read about two men believing that Rome had won again. They were desperate. They thought the enemy had triumphed over them, and they could not understand how they were so wrong about the Messiah. Before Jesus joined them, they were walking and wondering and focused on what had happened and had been done to the rabbi, grabbing at the wrong things instead of focusing on their rabbi, Jesus, and his teachings and his words to them, the nourishment he had already provided so that they might know him. They knew what to say about Jesus to this stranger that came up when Jesus asked them, "Well, what's going on?" And they couldn't believe it, but it was in their sadness and their mourning that they shared what happened. They weren't nourished with the right information. They had not yet truly connected with who Jesus was and what had happened to him. All of Jesus' disciples and followers were desperate to see Israel freed from Rome. And so here they were after his death, even in the morning of his resurrection, desperately grabbing at whatever teachings or signs and wonders Jesus gave that could point to such a victory, and wondering where they went wrong. Because he died on a cross. And even when they heard he was resurrected, they didn't understand. They still reached for what they wanted, freedom from Rome, instead of who they needed, the resurrected Christ. And yet, Jesus knew this, and he knew they would do it, and he provided the nourishment and sustenance they needed. He met them in their wanting, in their desperation, and gave them what they needed. He shared his story from Moses and the prophets to show how he was the chosen one, fulfilling the promise of God. He does that for us today. Here again, verses 27 and then 30 and 31. So Creator Sets Free told them his story, beginning from Drawn from the Water and all the prophets. He showed them how all the ancient sacred teachings were written about the Chosen One and pointed the way to him. In verse 30, when they sat down to eat a meal together, Creator Sets Free took fry bread into his hands. He gave thanks and broke it, giving them each a piece. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they knew who he was, but he vanished right in front of them. Jesus is our nourishment, providing all that we need to be full and filled, all provision. It may not always be what we want, but when we focus on him, we realize that all we need is more than what we could ever want. Jesus reminded those travelers on this road to Emmaus and his disciples as he saw them and came to them on the way towards Pentecost, and to us today as we read these words and we remember this walk through Moses, the prophets, the teachings of Jesus, the letters of the disciples that we have to read and study. This is a written testimony of the love of the triune God for all humanity. So when we're lonely, when we have those moments of seeking, of searching, of wondering, we don't have to reach out in desperation and grab the wrong thing. Because Jesus' hands are already outstretched, giving us everything we need. He has provided for us. Even when we wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R, about what is coming next. And even when we wander, W-A-N-D-E-R, from what we know to be good and true, Jesus provides nourishment. And when we are wondering and unsure, do as the travelers did and invite Jesus to break bread with you, to eat, knowing that it is not you feeding him, but it is his nourishment. He is the bread of life, giving sustenance and nourishment to you. And trust that he will make himself known in just the way that you need it. We do this with communion, coming to the table to remember Jesus' body and blood shed for us. But is that the only time that we do it? Do we truly seek Jesus' presence to nourish us? And I say us, we, I am speaking as much to myself. Do I go first to Jesus to fill me? Or do I go to the world first and make myself sick before realizing I grabbed the wrong thing? So as you live, as you go through your day, living with Jesus, or trying to share Jesus with others, don't try to do it like others or grab what you think you should have. Trust that the Holy Spirit will provide all that you need. Don't live your life while hungry. Instead, find nourishment in Christ and be fulfilled. Be equipped and be ready to live abundantly. Don't go living without Jesus. Join me as we pray. God, we thank you that you meet us on our road, in our travels, no matter where we're going. We don't always see you. We don't always recognize you. But thank you for the truth that you're always with us and the reminder that you give us what we need. We don't have to go looking to this world. We cannot go to this world to look and find anything to sustain us or nourish us or fulfill us. You do that for us. And you continue to provide all we need in you and through you. And may we live this life abundantly, not just with that knowledge, Lord, but with you beside us, rejoicing and proclaiming good above evil, life above death. In Jesus' name, amen.